Welcome to Women Worth Knowing, the radio program and podcast hosted by Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn.
Welcome back. This is part three of a few episodes we've done on Dixie Edwards. I'm Mary Perro in studio today with Cheryl Broderson, who's telling us an incredible story. One of the things we've been enjoying so much about Dixie's life is, you know, she came from a farm in Indiana, and her husband was called before she was. She's been kind of reluctant this whole time. She's the person who's letting the Lord know, you know, we don't have to do this, or even coming outright with her fears and complaints. But the Lord has really carried her through. They've been serving in Brazil. Last episode, we got caught up on their time in Brazil, and they're getting more changes coming. Poor Dixie doesn't like change, but more change is coming. And I just have been really loving her honesty, so I'm excited to...
I just adore her honesty. So in 1977, you know, they OMS says, you know what, we found another campsite in Londrina, which is where the OMS headquarters in Brazil was. And we'd really like you, Max, to come and manage and fix this one up. And we want to sell Panorama. And Dixie had just gotten used to life on Panorama and begun to, you know, love the ministry there. And now they're selling it to these actually Japanese believers who are going to take Panorama. And so they go to the new campsite in Londrina while still serving at the church in Dracena and still serving in Sao Paulo. So they've got like these three different places that they're going. Right. And mainly it's Max going to these places, but she goes at times. So she's just thinking about starting over again, fixing something up. Because, you know, they'd gotten the camp, they'd gotten rid of a lot of the snakes, just made it livable. And now they're going to, you know, fix up this other camp. And Dixie wrote, "Start over again? Oh, Lord, I don't have the courage. This was my first thought. But I reflected on my life and God's calling. My heart's prayer could only be, Lord, we came to serve. Put us where we can serve you and others to the best advantage." Mm-hmm. So I love that. She didn't want to start over, but there's this willingness. You might not want to, but I think sometimes that makes our obedience all the more precious to God.
Mm,
because
yes.
It's not what we want. But we do it out of love because we love God.
Yes.
And I think sometimes my mom used to say she felt like her obedience was even more precious to God because she was a lot like Dixie.
Yeah.
And did it even when she didn't feel like it.
And you know, Dixie in particular, but the entire family, they've sacrificed a lot, right? She got married on the same day of her parents' anniversary. So there's a lot of nostalgia, family history things. She's let all that go. Now, even in Brazil, she had to send her children away to get school for schooling. So she's given up a lot, and yet there's still more. I just, like you said, it's a really beautiful comparison and contrasting of her obedience versus, and just the realities of what she's giving up.
Right. Mm-hmm. So Max fixed up and started running another camp in Londrina, as well as living in Sao Paulo. Londrina was where the headquarters, as I told you, of OMS Brazil had moved. They also had a seminary there, and they asked the Edwards to come to Londrina and serve on the staff as teachers. 1977 and 1978, they lived at Sao Paulo and Londrina. December of that year, Max and Dixie visited Panorama for the last time. In August of 1978, they had their second furlough. Again, they traveled throughout the eastern states showing slides and their collections of oddities from Brazil while sharing about God's work. Their son Jay was married in March of 1979 in Kansas, so they went to the wedding. The family stayed until after Christmas, and Jan stayed in the U.S. to go to college. Jeffrey, Joey, Max, Dixie returned to Brazil. By now, Brazil was more home to Dixie than even Indiana.
Mm.
In 1980, the Edwards were settled in Sao Paulo. They taught Sunday school at their new church, Planalto Paulista, while they waited to see what God had in store for them. Dixie wrote, "We're busy, but that's the way we want it. I remember well when Max was quite frustrated in language school 10 years ago. Seemed there was nothing he could do that contributed to the work. Felt like dead weight. I remember him pray, Lord, give me responsibility. As I recall this request, I thank God for granting his desire. Sometimes I have to admit, a sigh goes with the praise. The prayer has been fully answered. In September of 1981, Max and Dixie planted a church in an area of Sao Paulo known as Devil's Mouth. And you can imagine the reasons why. It was full of superstition. It was full of demonic activity. Max and Dixie not only held service, evangelized, and discipled the new believers that came, they also cast out demons and taught classes to the people who wanted to learn to read and write. Dixie taught Sunday school, organized baptisms, taught the choir, and ministered daily to people, as well as hosting in her home and managing to write a letter home each week. She always wrote on the lightest weight airmail paper she could find, filling up both sides. Do you remember when we used to have to do that? Letters had to be on airmail paper. It's from my youth, because we used to get letters from missionaries.
Before my time.
And it was really just this really lightweight paper. It was onion thin.
And because of the weight for the cost of the
exactly.
post?
Okay. Exactly. So she would write on both sides of this. I think it was called onion skin paper, actually, because it was supposed to be as thin as an onion skin. In 1982, they've been serving there now 12 years, they were robbed again. She realized that the robbers had come in while she was sleeping. Max was gone. And they had actually drugged the family with the spray. They had sprayed them. Because she woke up, but she felt, she woke up and all of a sudden she was overcome and fell back to sleep. The robber's M.O. was to put a child through the window and have him then open the door. Mainly, it was her jewelry that was stolen. She praised the Lord that Joey was safe. Dixie comforted the people that came to her house to comfort her. She said, God is good. What he permits, he has a purpose for. We don't need or depend upon our luxuries. What was stolen. But it's interesting because Joey was quite relieved that his toys had not been stolen. They'd been hidden. And they didn't get the money that was in the house either. It was a mercy. In 1983, Max suddenly felt that God was calling him to return to the U.S. God is done with me here, he told Dixie. I feel like he wants me in Men for Missions. I don't have anything else to do here. Dixie was shocked. They were involved in the church and they had plans for another ministry. Nevertheless, Max was convinced they were to return. They had been in Brazil for almost 14 years.
Oh, my.
Dixie thought they would be there for life. They prayed. Max applied for Men for Missions, but was refused. And it's a ministry that took place in Indiana. And he just says, no, God's calling me back to Indiana to do this. However, he was still convinced that God had Men for Missions for him. He knew he had heard from the Lord. It was just a few months later that he got an urgent call from MFM. Get her as soon as you can. We need you urgently. And with that, Max and Dixie and Joey packed up all their belongings and returned to rural Indiana.
Just when she was getting comfortable in Brazil.
Exactly. And she wrote this, as I think about my life there in the U.S., when I thought about my life returning there into the U.S., I tended to worry. I want you to pray for me that I'll accept it easily and not borrow frustrations and problems from the future. God's plan for me will be right. We're praying about many things concerning our move home. Leaving here is really going to hurt a lot. I must be strong in my own personal life so his peace will be mine. Thanks for understanding or for trying. God knows the adjustments will come. We'll make it with God's help. So they go back. Max takes Men for Missions. And Men for Mission says, and we want Dixie to be your secretary. And she said, I know nothing about typing. I don't have secretarial skills. She feels totally unqualified.
Again.
Yes, unqualified. So, she's about, she's not quite 50 then. Dixie served, though, as Max's secretary. And God gave her all that she needed. You know, what you see with Dixie is something beautiful, too. When she can't, God can. And she learns the secret of leaning into God. She learns the secret of God's sufficient grace, all sufficient grace.
Yeah, you even hear that in how she's changing her prayers these 17 years later.
Yes.
Before she was going to Brazil, it was like, Lord, no.
Yeah.
Here's all the
Stop
reasons
him.
Why.
Yes, yes.
And now she's coming back and the prayers have changed. It's like, I'm got some discomfort. I forget exactly how you worded that in her words, but it just was really beautiful to hear that shift in how God's got a reason for this. God's going to meet me in this.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So in 1988, OMS asked Max and Dix. Max at this point, he's serving with MFF. And then OMS says in 1988, they asked Max and Dixie to move to Mexico to help with the work there because they want to start a seminary. So they have to learn Spanish now. And it was another adjustment. They had to forget their Portuguese. She said she had to forget her Portuguese in order to learn Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
They're similar, but also dissimilar. So they first started by just going down to Mexico, and they would hold crusades for the next 2 years. But then in 1991, Dixie is now 53 years old. They had to leave Joe in the U.S., where he was entering his freshman year of college, and they moved to Mexico to train Mexican pastors and their wives in ministry. Max started the first OMS seminary in Mexico in his dining room, and they had 5 people. It continued to grow until they needed a facility. Life was not easy for Max and Dixie in Mexico. They were constantly on the move, either training, building, overseeing, or raising finances for the new seminary. At one time, they were driving, and the roads are really narrow and precarious. I know this because my friend Nancy Sylvester grew up as a missionary, the youngest of 8 children in Mexico, and she talked about how dangerous the roads were. But they were going up the side of the mountain. It was a really narrow, narrow road when all of a sudden a truck was coming the other way and not stopping, and Max swerved and went off the side of the cliff. And they were caught by a branch.
Oh, my
goodness.
And
Dixie, without thinking, just jumped out of the van. I'm safer on the side of the hill. And when she got out, it loosened the hold and the branch snapped. And he continued to go down the hill. But somehow, as he's going down this mountain, the van rights itself. And he drives it all the way down.
Oh, my goodness.
With very little damage.
Meanwhile, she's watching this.
Meanwhile, she's watching and she's walking down. So she gets to the bottom. Max goes, you know what? I think that we can go up the trail we just created in our van. So they turn, and the very tracks he made coming down, he turned around and he drove straight up. And it looked at one point like maybe they'd roll back down. And all of a sudden, the van gave an extra lurch and went back up on the road.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, without losing any time. By the spring of 1995, Max and Dixie had returned to Indiana. And again, he takes up farming again. They were supposed to be, at least he was supposed to be, unofficially retired. But at the same time, OMS was sending him all over the world to share about what it's like to be a missionary, getting to know other missionaries. And while he was in Africa, he got a dangerous tick bite. And when he came back, he had to be hospitalized. And so he spent Thanksgiving of 1996 in the hospital.
Mm.
And Dixie was watching over him. After that, he accepted a pastorate at Winchester Congregational Christian Church, where they would serve for 7 years. I mean, Dixie is just like, what are we doing back in the ministry?
Yeah.
You know? I thought we were
retired.
Retired, right? So he serves there. And he's also farming at the same time. So she is living on the farm. Their kids are all married. They're having grandchildren now. And then in November of 2010, Max is diagnosed with the beginning of Alzheimer's.
Hmm.
And so Max continues. He's able to continue to speak, you know, for a time, and he continues on the farm, and then he breaks his hip. So his hip mends, and he's able to continue working the farm and still speaking. Then he breaks his other hip.
Mm.
And with the breakage of the second hip, she began to see his mental capacity really begin to go downward. So he began to decline. She would take him to an adult care facility, And she made him think that it was so he could minister. So he loved going. So he would go to this adult care facility to visit and share the gospel with the people there, not knowing that it was actually for him.
Yeah.
And so she just kind of got him used to going every week and comfortable with going. But in September of 2017, it was necessary for Max to move into the Randolph Nursing Home. Dixie grieved over this new transition and wondered if she had done the right thing. And she visited almost daily, but she realized that Max did not recognize her anymore. So not only did she, you know, check on Max and visit him, even though he didn't know who she was, she used her time to minister to the nurses and others in the facility, often playing the piano for them, singing, leading worship, all that. At the same time, Dixie was back at church teaching Sunday school and hosting a small group Bible study in her home and mentoring young women. So she's continuing, and this is, you know, what she's doing still today. In December 15th, 2020, Max got COVID, and he succumbed to the COVID, and he died. But Dixie is still alive at 88 and living in Indiana, and she continues to be a blessing to her church. Can you imagine? Continues. This reluctant woman who learned to lean on the arms of Jesus, and I bet she needs that at 88.
Yes.
I mean, it's a good thing to learn when you're younger so that when you age, you know how to do this. So she's a blessing to her church, her children and grandchildren. And as I mentioned, Boldly I Obey, which is the name of this book, was written by her granddaughter. And her granddaughter not only interviewed Dixie, but also Dixie gave her the letters that she sent home to use for the book. But in the introduction, and there's excerpts in this book, Boldly I Obey, from each of her children and then others from their grandchildren, as they talk about what a blessing Dixie was and how inspirational both Max and Dixie were in their lives. You know, just their love for the Lord, their willingness to obey the Lord wherever he called. And all of her children graduated from college. They all married. They all had children of their own. In fact, Dixie is a great grandmother several times over now. And just to hear this legacy that she created through obedience to the Lord.
Yes.
And you think, you know, where would she be and where would her children be if Dixie had not obeyed the Lord? If she had just flatly refused and said, no, Max, this is your call. You want to do this. She either would have dissuaded him and he would have been so frustrated and who knows how that would have ended, or else he would have gone alone. And who knows how that would have gone. But you just see that the Lord's hand was on her and all she needed to do was obey.
Yes. We were talking about this a little earlier, but the words just kind of came back to me. In the very beginning when she was praying, there was a lot of fear.
Yes.
I am afraid. I say no, but willingness in the end. Reluctance. We've talked a lot about that. But in the end and towards the second half of her life, when she was talking about coming back, she said, I needed to find a place to put my worries about the future. So she's recognizing now it's not just fear. It's I'm worrying about something that hasn't happened yet that is out of my control. I think this is so common for most of us, but she was able to take that and place that in its rightful position, which is under even those thoughts, even my worries, my fears about the future. I'm going to take those and also submit and surrender those in obedience to Christ, just knowing that God holds the future in his hand, which is such a beautiful lesson of obedience. It's not just what we do now, but it's also our thoughts. It's also our concerns about the future, bringing that all into submission to the Lord. It's really a beautiful testimony.
It is. And I think about Corrie Ten Boom, who was talking to her dad, another missionary that we highlighted here, but she was talking about her dad one time and she was telling him how she was afraid to die. And he turned to her and he said, Corrie, when do I give you the train ticket for the passage on the train? And she said, right before we get on. And he said, that's when God gives us the grace, right when we need it. And I think sometimes we are trying to borrow from tomorrow's grace. And God say, no, that will be there tomorrow.
Yes.
But today you have all the grace you need. You know, we've been going through kind of a huge thing with an upheaval with my family. My son-in-law died a few weeks ago. And he was just such a tremendous, strong, amazing Christian. And we're all learning right now not to draw on tomorrow's grace, you know, because sometimes it feels like I don't have tomorrow's grace because I don't. Mm-hmm. But I do have enough grace for today. Mm-hmm. And I keep saying, okay, I've got today's grace. Today I've got grace. It's kind of like Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread.
Yes.
And I think we're always praying for, can I have tomorrow's bread and
right.
next week's bread? And could I have like 5 years bread and maybe 10 years bread? And if you're really in the mood, could I have this century's worth of bread?
Yes.
But you know, you can only keep bread for so long.
Right. It's like the manna. They collected
exactly.
a few days and it went bad. But again, it just we're trying to control what we know today for the future. And that's in the Lord's hands. It's got to be.
Yeah. And God is always trying to build dependency in us.
Yes.
Dependency on Him alone. And that's why I love that. I grew up singing Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Mm-hmm. And so I just think about that song. You know, what have I to dread? What have I to fear? You know, leaning on the everlasting arms. And mm-hmm. I just think about that's what God wants to create, this dependency. And I think He likes it when He said, I can't, when we say, I can't, but you can.
Yes.
And I'll just lean into you. I'll just lean on you.
Yes.
And we'll do it. And I think here's a woman who was so reluctant, but she ends up going to places that I seriously never want to go to. I hate snakes. But she, and so did she, but she lives in Brazil. Not just in Brazil, like in, you know, a modern city of Brazil, but she's in the Tules.
Mm-hmm.
She's in like, you know, this right next to this piranha infested river. And she's dealing with monkeys and she's dealing with snakes and rats and toilets that don't work. And she's learning contentment and to lean into the Lord, even to the point where she's missing panorama when they leave it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's having to adjust to different churches over and over again. Twice they're robbed.
Mm-hmm.
And she has to adjust to letting go of each one of her children, beginning
yes.
with her oldest and, mm-hmm. you know, dreams that she had. I mean, she is such a woman that only wanted to be a mother and a farmer's wife.
Yes.
That's all she wanted for her life. She didn't have these kind of ambitions.
Mm-hmm.
And yet God saying, well, but I really want to do more for you. And she's like, okay, I will serve you whatever and in whatever way.
Yes.
And that's amazing.
Yes.
So beautiful.
The honesty too, I think as you shared earlier, it makes the story, it makes me appreciate what the Lord did so much more because her honesty, you know, we can see that we see our weakness mm-hmm. as well. And then again, it gives God glory.
It does. And also I think too, I love her reluctancy because I've been reluctant and
yes.
it takes the condemnation off for one.
Mm-hmm.
Two, you realize that God's going to do what God's going to do, whether I'm reluctant or not.
Yeah.
He's God.
Yeah.
And He'll take what we give Him and He will use it.
Mm-hmm.
And He's not saying, well, I'm waiting for your attitude to be absolutely perfect and you to be enthusiastic about you, and then I'll use you, and then I'll work. He's like, I'll take you just as you are.
Yes.
And your willingness is enough for mm-hmm. me. And as He said to her, even when she got really into the work, He said, hey, wait. You're loving the work.
Not about the work.
I want you to love me.
Yes.
So, I mean, just that sensitivity to hear the Lord. And again, her thought, too, in the beginning where she thought, oh, this is all about Max, and I'm just going to submit, let Max do his thing. And the Lord's like, no, both of you are called.
Mm-hmm.
It's not one or the other. It's the both.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love the whole story. I just, as I was reading it, I just was like, I love you. I just love you, Dixie. I love your honesty. I love even your reluctance. I love your leaning into the Lord. I love the way you listen, that you get convicted and you let the Lord speak in and speak over you and direct you. I don't think there was anything about Dixie that I did not love.
It's such a great story. I think you were sharing before we went on air about the grandchildren, one of her granddaughters writing the book.
Yes.
And it almost gave you a sense that perhaps the grandkids were like, Grandma, you are so incredible. And she was kind of tempering that. Well, not so much.
Yes. I want you to know how great God is.
Yes.
Not how great Grandma is. I want you to know how God, you know, God helped me take care of your grandpa when he got the Alzheimer's. God helped me to be the pastor's wife in these different churches and to serve as a secretary and to have choirs even in Brazil. And you think about how God can do exceedingly abundantly more than we ask or think if we'll just give him our lives. You know, he's just like saying, just give it to me and I'll do the rest. And here from a reluctant farmer's wife who got married at 17 into this incredible woman of God who left this legacy for her children and grandchildren. And that is Dixie Edwards. And that's why she's a woman worth knowing for sure.
Thank you for listening to Women Worth Knowing with Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn. For more information on Cheryl, visit CherylBroderson.com or follow her on Instagram or Facebook. For more information on Robin, visit RobinGunn.com or follow her on Instagram or Facebook. Join us each week for a lively conversation as we explore the lives of well-known and not so well-known historical and contemporary Christian women. We hope you've enjoyed today's episode. Make sure you rate us on your podcast app, subscribe, and share it with a friend. Thank you again for listening to Women Worth Knowing with Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn.